It's Seven Lamp Hand, brought to you by Good Game St. James. Hey, just because you found us on the internet, don't feel compelled to knock one out. Disease. Ew, it's disgusting. But what if we had the same affliction? Well, we do, gamers, and it's called gaming. Today we have Pandamania. We're not just crazy about our black and white Chinese bear friends, but also Pandemic, the gateway game too cool to be a gateway game. But don't worry, listeners, by indulging in today's episode, the only thing you're at risk of catching is a gay case of gaming hysteria.
I've heard that a few times.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Anthrax, typhus, cholera, they're all great names for heavy metal bands. But before that, they're all pandemics. And much like rock and roll lead singers, they've been spreading disease through world populations since before recorded history. The Plague of Athens happened in 430 BC. The Antonine Plague did its thing between 165 and 180 AD, and the first recorded occurrence of the bubonic plague happened in Egypt between 540 and 750 AD. The bubonic plague alone was responsible for reducing Europe's population by nearly 50%, all because of horny rock stars not being able to keep it in their trousers, we imagine.
That's yeah. A lot of plague.
Little star, not standing by that, like it's a fact. The Black Death was the most metal of all pandemics. There's nothing more rock and roll in the year 1666, because it has 666 in its name. During this year, after touring the globe, the Plague of London consumed up to 20% of the city's population. That's not a band. The Plague of London, it's not a band. An endemic is a disease that maintains an infection in a defined zone without further input. An epidemic, much like Aaron surfing the internet, is substantially bigger than expected.
I was expecting that to go somewhere else, actually.
But the pandemic is the big daddy. Big daddy. It smothers the globe and kills without mercy. Sneeze at your own peril, listener. Germs are reinventing themselves all the time. But what does it mean to gamers? To talk more about bugs than Lindsay Lohan in Herbie Fully Loaded, I have Anthrax Aaron Graham.
I'm Herbie in that situation, not Lindsay Lohan.
Or Fully Loaded. And
I'm loaded in that situation.
Yeah, okay. And our in-house, newly appointed, permanent Sevenland Hand team expert with more Hyper Magic Nerd badges than Sevenland Hand has.
Yay. Yeah, I don't have them.
Yeah, we've pinned them all to him. We can't see him. We just tap him on the forehead and listen to that chinny noise. It's malarial Matt McHale.
Here to infect you with enthusiasm.
Gentlemen, welcome to the snot-smeared handkerchief that is Sevenland Hand.
A few comments on the intro. Are pandas truly our friends?
I think so.
I reckon.
Do you hate any? Have you met any pandas? Have you met a panda that you hate?
Well, that panda in Takinoko is a bit of a bastard.
Oh, yeah, he's a knob, isn't he?
Yeah, I know all about
that. Bamboo.
I can't stop playing that game.
And also, 1666 in London, wasn't that when the Great Fire was as well?
I think that's how they cured the bubonic plague. The Plague of London.
Burn it out!
Well, they didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah. It was on purpose?
No. There was a fire in a bakery or something like that, and London got burnt down, and they went, hey, all of those people that were diseased, they're all now ashes.
Oh,
nothing more to infect.
That's great,
Guessing it just made them more combustible.
Oh, yeah.
And then London was kind of repopulated by firemen.
Yeah. You saved me.
Yeah, so what we've learned from that is that that Cockneys are all descendants of firemen.
Firemen who didn't have the bubonic plague.
Okay, games review. We're doing Pandemic today. Pandemic.
I thought we were just going to talk about disease.
Pandemic.
You're infecting me.
You're like infecting him.
Like a bird flu.
Matt?
Pandemic.
What's the objective of Pandemic? Like you've bought it, you've got to open it. Is that the objective?
That's the objective. And you win.
Get the cellophane.
The back of the box says the objective is to save humanity. So that's
Picture this.
How long does that take?
Oh, 20 minutes.
Apparently 45 minutes.
So you need 2 to 4 people to save humanity. We'll have to remember that.
You all have to be 8 plus though. You're not interested in saving the world.
Next time you're watching a Hollywood movie, you go, you don't need like 24 people in the army. Just get 2 to 4 people.
2 to 4?
45 minutes.
45 minutes.
It's a 2 hour and a half. 2 hour movie.
I have to buy popcorn for this shit.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Hollywood.
Just imagine all those diseases.
We love Hollywood and all our Hollywood friends, like Kate Beckinsale. Kate.
Such great movies as Outbreak. Imagine all those diseases that have popped up throughout history and decimated the population throughout periods in time. You know, isolated
Spanish
incidents.
Flu, anthrax.
Exactly.
Bubonic plague. Swine flu.
Avian.
All the
HIV.
Flu.
person flu.
Panda flu.
Panda flu.
Yeah. Yeah.
All there.
But chimney flu.
Imagine all of those hitting at once, at the same point in time.
Oh, that would be unbelievable. I can't imagine that. I
could not believe it.
Would we stand a chance?
I think we had people eight
if
plus.
If we had two to four people, eight plus,
nothing to do in 45 minutes.
Fill the specific role.
Yeah, what have you got to do in the next 45 minutes, Aaron?
Oh, I'm going to sit at my computer and dispatch some.
Forget about that. Let's go save humanity.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think
well,
we do it.
Lucky for all of us, we've got a group of people willing to risk their lives or the lives of lots
pandemic
of others.
Oh, sorry. To got it stuck in my head from earlier.
Seems like it's catchy, isn't it?
It's great tune. Oh,
that's what you do. Yes.
We need a pun bell.
Oh, you're infecting me with enthusiasm.
So everybody's out
drunk
there.
With enthusiasm.
These roles, you've got. You're basically a plague infection killing super team out there running all over the world trying to stem the rate of and spread of a disease and stop epidemics, which you can't stop.
The
they're going to happen all over the world all at once. Imagine the worst, a CDC's worst nightmare is all of these diseases CDCs hitting every different, all the continents all at once.
Yeah.
Or in succession as they get drawn from a deck. But
or as any other board game, continents slash chunks of the world sort of grouped together randomly.
Red continent, black continent, blue continent, yellow continent. Yeah. The yellow continent is South America.
That's why you have to be 8 plus, because otherwise you're gonna, if you're 8 or less, you get them just like, they just learnt continents at school and they'd correct you.
They're like, well, this continent is red. That's I learnt it from a board
that's
game.
That's not North America. That's that. Yeah,
that's North America and Europe. That's not a continent.
That is a continent.
And that's where you suddenly wish that they had the plague.
Yeah.
But
your 7-year-old child.
Yeah. So the objective is your super CDC team based in Atlanta to dispatch themselves all over the city, all over the country, all over the world, I should say.
Don't think so small, Matt. Go world. This
well,
is a
you
pandemic.
Might start city to city, country to country, all over the world. It's global to cure these diseases.
Yeah, you
sound
like you're doing
at a time.
A marketing campaign for those heavy metal bands we were mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
City to city, country to country,
the plague of London,
planet to planet,
curing disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what?
It's the plague of London.
The great news is, once you've managed to cure all four of these diabolical colour diseases, you win the game.
Oh, yeah, so that's,
well, that sounds easy.
So there's only one way to win.
One way to win.
Find the cure for four diseases.
Yeah, find the cure for four diseases.
Yeah, okay.
So it's easy enough.
Yeah.
So how do you lose, Matt?
Well, how do you lose? How don't you lose in this game? One way to lose is to have more than 8 outbreaks.
Yeah.
And then you lose. If you draw all of your player cards, you lose. If all of one particular disease color are out on the board because it's just covering the globe, you lose.
You run out of cubes.
You run out of cubes, you lose. So it's a diabolical
Sounds like there's a lot of components in this game.
Oh,
there are.
What would you get in the box?
Well, in the box, you've got cards, you've got cubes, actually.
Don't spruik it, just tell us.
You've got cards.
Yeah, out now.
Everybody receives, plays a role.
10% discount.
And those roles are occupied by pawns, so little wooden pawns or brightly coloured.
Oh, we're like pawn.
Yeah. Not that sort of pawn there, Dave.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
So we've got...
You've got the player pawns, you've got the disease cubes, which are brightly coloured blue, yellow, black and red.
Representing each of the corresponding colours, diseases.
That's right. You've got the game board itself, which is a 1970s version of the world, I think, as seen from a space station that doesn't exist.
That's the old version, though, is it?
It is the old version.
The new printing.
The new printing makes it look like
a lot more beautiful.
The internet.
Which is only printing you have to worry about now if you're going to get it, right?
It is, really.
It looks like it's the Earth stood in front of an X-ray machine and had its photo
taken.
Yeah, it's
all blue and flashing.
Yeah.
As opposed to this one, which is more like MASH.
Yeah, we're looking at the original.
It does look
original,
like MASH, doesn't it?
It's the original MASH printing.
So your cubes that represent all the various diseases. Then you've got a couple of decks of cards. In one of those decks, you've got the roles of your players. So you've got nice, busy roles. You've got the medic who sounds like someone like Chuck Norris. He flies into cities and
Punches disease in the face.
Yeah, he squishes
them under his thumbnail.
Yeah,
and,
oh, take that. Oh.
You've got the dispatcher who uses other people's turns to send, or who everybody else uses his turn to send them all over the world. You've got the scientist who's curing disease one cell at a time. The operations expert who's setting up scientific laboratories and
research stations
around the globe
of the game.
Helps you travel about the globe quicker. And then you've got the researcher whose job is to basically make it easier for people to cure disease by sharing information. Mm. Yeah. So that's the roles. Then you've got the player deck, which includes...
So everyone starts off with a few of these in their hand.
Everyone starts off with a couple of cards. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So depending on the number of players in the game. Typically, if you're playing with three players, you'll get... It's three cards.
Is it three?
Yeah, three cards. Yeah. Yeah, three cards. Three players.
The more players there are, the less cards you start with.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So three is about the middle. Mm-hmm. So all the cards, the player cards, represent the various cities around the globe in their appropriate colours. And you've also got that includes special events. So special events
and
are thrown in there.
You need those location cards for what reason?
Curing disease.
Curing disease.
Yes. Five. Cards of the same color will cure a disease. Now that sounds like a pretty easy way to fight disease.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah. Just keep going through the deck, collect them all.
That's it.
Yeah, five of them.
Just like Russell Crowe trying to fight cancer.
Right.
He basically wants to get five cards and then punch it in the face. So that's what you're doing.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
a big
Okay.
The other deck you've got is the infection cards, which
this is the game mechanic at work here. This is the game's deck, really.
Yeah. So this is what you're fighting against, because we haven't mentioned Pandemic is the quintessential cooperative game.
If you're going to get a gateway into collaborative games, this is the gateway game.
This is perfect, because until one of the expansions, everyone is on the same team. You win or you lose together. You either die of a horrible disease all at the same time in a weird little flat, or you are all around the world curing disease by punching it and stuff, and then you've cured all four diseases.
Having a
together.
Group hug.
Yeah.
And then you can all have sex and share all those STDs and stuff.
You could do that in the apartment.
And then start Pandemic 2.
Yeah.
Well, that's the adult version. Yeah. Pandemic 2, the adult version, is the curing the world of STDs. So
strip pandemic.
One brothel at a time.
STD pandemic has just ruined my top 10 list, so I've got to make a new one now.
Oh, well, there we go. We jumped ahead.
The infection cards, again, represent all the various cities around the globe, coloured by their various disease. And that's the vehicle for putting the diseases out onto the board. So as you draw these cards, a disease cube gets placed out on the board. In the corresponding city.
Yeah.
Now, that's not even the worst part. The worst part is the epidemic cards, the bright green, yellow epidemic cards.
And they're in the player deck, right?
In the player deck, yes. These are cleverly seeded in the player deck.
So this is the game's way of, as you're skipping through the delightfully daffodil-filled meadow of the player deck, strikes out.
Oh, look, Mumbai.
It's this hidden snake within the and it bites you on your leg and goes...
It increases, moves the infection rate indicator up by one.
And that means you reveal more cards from the infection deck every time you do it?
You start off at two cards per turn. It's after every player turn. Mm-hmm. But then if you increase it gradually, you'll get to three and four cards per turn.
I was
going to
guess what came after three. I was going to say four.
Oh, four?
It was seven.
Yeah. Seven.
Yeah. Four is the maximum,
Then the second stage is the infection stage. So you're drawing a card from the bottom of the infection cards.
Yeah.
Not going from the top, from the bottom.
So it's a city we've never seen yet.
One that you're thinking, oh, that's pretty safe. We're never going to get down that far. It's never going to get infected. No. You infect it with three disease cubes. And the third level is intensification, or the intensify level.
Yeah,
shuffle the infection discard pile, place it on top of the infection draw pile.
Now, this is the dastardly mechanic of this game.
This is it. So you're shuffling every card of representing every city that's already gotten in. You should have an infection in there, unless you've mopped it up earlier. Mm-hmm. Shuffling them back up, sticking them on top of the deck, and then immediately you're drawing them out because you've drawn the epidemic card during your go. The game hasn't had its go yet. So then you draw from the infection deck.
Yeah.
and reinfect some cards.
So every turn goes in the order. You take your actions as a player, whether it's cleaning up disease, flying to a different city.
Four actions.
And then you get to draw two cards. That could be a city, hopefully a city card, but it might be an epidemic.
Or a special event card.
Which we'll touch on in a minute.
And then at the end of every person's turn, the game has its turn.
Infecting
air quotes.
Yeah.
And you draw the infection cards equal to the infection rate and infect those cities.
It's a very clever mechanic, and it's not one that's unknown to this author, to this designer.
Game designer. Yeah.
Matt Leacock also designed Forbidden Island, which
is the
forerunner of Pandemic.
Just one of those names, you know, trouble getting through high school with. Matt. Leacock.
Or it could be like our esteemed brethren down in Coburn, Leaco, but we don't talk about them.
Leaco.
That's much more a call him. That's not what they call him at all.
What's that dribbling down your thigh, Leaco?
So that mechanic
I was never like that in high school.
Oh no, me neither.
No.
Didn't just slip into that personality.
I was going to say that mechanic of drawing cards and then having them come back into your draw into the infection draw pile.
Sounds familiar.
Is all it's a very Forbidden Island mechanic. Yeah. So that's where it originated from.
Even the pawns look the same.
They do. Yeah. Yes, all that's missing is the little things you win.
Yeah.
In this case, it's curing diseases.
You win disease.
The cards I haven't spoke of yet are the special event cards.
Yes.
Now, these are hidden in the player deck, and if you see one of these, it's a chance to rejoice and think, oh, hey, the world's not so fucked after all. We're going to maybe get through this.
These are sort of cards that can claw you back into the game if you're a little bit behind.
This is the only thing that makes me feel in control of anything this game.
Really?
Because you draw one and you're like, I can actually affect the board in a meaningful way because everything else is flying to and from cities, cleaning up disease that's going to get put back there. This is like, I'm warping the rules of the game. It's the thing that's going to happen in the second act of the Hollywood movie that is Pandemic that's going to turn it around for the people.
I'll give you an example. Yeah. Forecast, special event. Examine the top six cards of the infection draw pile. Rearrange them in the order of your choice, then place them back on the pile. Now, a very useful card.
Super Scry.
Very useful card if you play at the right time. If you've got an empty infection card deck, that's probably the... Oh no, sorry, I should say, if you've got a full infection card discard pile. If you were to play this, then you're looking at the infection cards on the draw pile only. So you look six cards in, but then all of a sudden somebody draws the epidemic card, you're going to bury all of those cards you just saw amongst the ones you've... So it's quite useless at that point. So the ideal time to use this is after an epidemic. Straight after an epidemic, you've put all those used discarded cards back on the infection for reinfection, and then you play forecast, and you can then at least have some control over how disastrous the next few out.
Yeah, so you can fish out. Like, you might have cleared a few cities, so you put them on the top, so you're going to draw out a city which has got nothing in it, and you want to put any city that's got three cubes on it at the bottom, because if you infect a city with three cubes on it, what happens then?
Outbreak.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
Another way to lose the game, I imagine.
Dustin Hoffman comes in automatically wearing one of those suits and you lose the game.
Yeah, you can only outbreak seven times and get away with it. Eight times.
No.
Met meal.
There's even a skull and crossbones on the board that tells you all death. About that. That's death. Yeah. That means no.
That's beyond losing the game. That means you will die by playing this game.
It's haunted, like in The Ring. You have to beat the game or you die.
Yeah.
The only other the only other crucial point of the game I haven't mentioned is the research stations.
Yes.
Now, you're able to build... You start off with one in...
Atlanta,
the home of the CDC.
Yeah.
And you have five more that you're able to place throughout the globe. And these basically act as a quick transportation device, a vehicle for moving.
And the only place where you can cure the disease.
And the only place you can cure the disease.
Once you've collected those cards, swap them in between players and stuff, you need to go to a research center and get all that information together and find the cure.
That's it. Summed up as discard five cards.
Discard five cards of the
same
color.
And place a little pretty token on the cured pile.
It sounds so easy.
Yeah, it is.
It sounds so easy.
Cure four and you win the game.
Yeah. And you can ramp it up, can't you, the game? Like, so you can play... the difficulty of the game depends on how many epidemic cards you're going to shuffle into your... into your player deck.
Yeah. So obviously
It's four. So in the standard normal version of the game, stick in four epidemic cards. And the way they're seeded is you divide, you give everybody the number of cards that they start with. So you've got three players, you get three cards each. Yeah. Then you divide the what's left of the deck up into four equal piles, put the epidemic card on top of each pile, shuffle them, then put the piles on top of each other. So in that sense, they're seeded, but you know they're either going to be in the middle of the top of the middle of the top of the bottom.
Yeah.
But
you, you can
one,
see how it could spiral out of control very quickly.
Especially if two are very close together.
We had a game last night where it was like that, where we drew an epidemic card. We had another... play a card in between that and then another epidemic card.
Yeah.
It was like one got shuffled to the bottom, the other one got shuffled right to the top. Yeah, so it was like bang, bang.
a similar thing happened in a game we played. We were on top of everything. We'd cured two of the diseases maybe. Yeah. And epidemic happened. We're like, yeah, cool. We're on top of this. Sorted it all out. One of the cities got infected. The deck got reshuffled. On the next player's turn, another epidemic, reshuffle the thing, and then that city outbreak, and they can chain reaction.
Yeah.
So if you have three or... if you would place more than three cubes on a city, instead it spreads outwards, and that's what an outbreak is.
That's right.
But then if that causes another city to have more than three, that outbreaks as well.
Yeah.
And it can cause this insane chain reaction where you just like lose in a split second.
Well, it doesn't quite end up that bad because once a city has had an outbreak, it can't experience another outbreak.
Oh, right.
So
it
stops that chain. But if you've got groups of cities that have around two each, and then all of a sudden they get an extra one, you've got multiple outbreaks. But it's if you that's on easy mode. So if you've got you chuck four epidemic cards, but if you want a bit more of a challenge, you chuck in a fifth. If you want nightmare mode, if you want nightmare mode,
that's what Matt calls it. It's actually called a heroic.
I have bad dreams because of this game. It talks to me and says, "Don't put in the sixth card," which is
just. I want to. Pandemic, stop it.
No, I really want to put it in the deck. Let me do it.
We could talk
Put it in.
We could talk about ratio and how many epidemic cards there are per every player card, but that would just be a waste of time. It's a lot. And so increased chance of those cards pairing and then greater epidemics. It just all ends up in going horribly, horribly wrong if you've got too many coming out at the wrong time.
So you've got to know what your role is and you've got to communicate what your hand is about and use those skills to be economic moving around, mopping up. Because you can mop up diseases really to no effect.
You can treat disease like as a short-term measure, but it's going to keep coming back until you get that cure.
Yeah. Even though if you manage to find a cure, so we've been running around South America, we've found the cure for cholera, and all of a sudden you've cured that, you've got there's nothing to worry about anymore. No, that's wrong, because until you've eradicated the disease, completely wiped it off the board, other sites can still become infected.
Even if you've cured it. What do you get for curing it? You get something for curing it again.
Well, if you've cured it, you flip over and you mark it on the board that you've cured it. And when you go to the city, you can treat it. And if all the cubes off instead of just one per action. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can mop it up quickly, but sometimes you can just let it go. You can go, I don't mind if we just keep flipping those cities over and it does infect. We need to go find the cure for other things. Because otherwise, one guy's just going to go around trying to mop all those guys up. And so it's kind of hard to get...
I lost in outbreaks like that. I'd cured the yellow and I kind of then said, right, I can move on to the others. Then I started getting a couple of bad card draws in a row and I ended up with a couple of outbreaks and then, you know, it all over. I got too many outbreaks, all because of a disease that I had actually cured.
Yeah,
but was still on the streets, rampant.
That's it. Backyard deals, like people teenage, with syringes.
A teenage fungi. So house rules. I mean, we've got a few different things that we've played, different ways to play the game. Like one of them to start off with is how you decide on who your role is. In the past, I've usually, or if you're just starting out with the game, chosen which role you want, yeah. and you can work out as a team.
The box says to deal them out randomly, but that can go quite badly.
Yeah, when you're first starting, you can look at them all, see which one takes your favour, and
because you will lose your first game of Pandemic.
Yeah,
expect to lose.
Expect
your first
to lose
game.
A lot.
So stepping up from that, you can choose one randomly, or even like Matt, we came up with a different way, the Mulligan system.
Yeah, the Mulligan system. That's right. We look at the role, we each look at each other in disbelief, go, "That's bullshit." Put it to the side and draw another one.
And you better stick with that. You've got no choice. It's just like that's the one you're going to
get.
You
should stick with that one.
Make sure you don't throw away a good one to start off with, right?
Well, you look at different roles. The medic, yes, everyone wants to be the Chuck Norris medic.
And he's particularly good after you've cured the disease. He can do laps around a particular area and just clean up.
He does that anyway.
City for free.
I know, but I think it's as soon as he walks into a cured city, it just wipes it up.
Yeah.
Right? So he can just wander around cities and it's just everyone is cured around him.
Yeah, I think he can remove a cube for free. And then once it's cured, if he moves into that city and it's got three cubes in there, they all come off for free.
Yeah, they've retemplated this in the 2013 edition that says if he goes into a city of a known disease, it's cured immediately. It's treated immediately in that city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So does that mean he's Jesus?
Yeah, well, I'd say he looks a bit Jesus-y, doesn't he? No, not in the slightest.
Looks like he's from MASH.
He does look like he's from MASH. He's a combat medic.
Jesus is a character from MASH. What are you guys talking about?
Okay, who else have we got there?
You've got the operations expert, whose job it is to race around the world setting up research stations.
He's very fast at building.
That's right.
That's his ability.
He doesn't have.
he's got a hard hat and a high vis t-shirt
and a walkie-talkie.
That's all. Those are the three things that you need.
I need to build a research center. Thanks.
In engineering school, I think that's how it works. He goes, right, what would you wear on your head, maybe? And your hard hat, tick. Right, you got two more to get right, and then you can be an engineer. What would you wear sort of in your upper body kind of area?
Vest. Like a safety vest.
High vis?
Yeah, that's cool.
Tick, tick. Okay. What sort of tools might you use? What might you hold in your hand?
Walkie-talkie.
Welcome to engineering.
Yeah!
You are now an engineer.
Please build a research center in Mumbai.
Everywhere you go. And by the way, there's only six in the world that you can have.
Normally, if you're going to build a research center, you need to actually hold the card of that particular city. And anyone can build a build a research center. However, the operations expert can walk into any city, no matter where or it is on the globe, and just use any card to build.
Thumbs his nose at the council, I think that's what he's saying. He's sort of like, can I have planning rights for that? He just walks in and goes, research
I'm with
station,
the World Health
right
Organization.
Here.
I need to build a research center here.
Yeah. But we were going to build a statue to Lady Diana and all the great work she did for all the AIDS. What? No?
Research center.
Oh, okay. He's a
Lady Diana Research Center.
He's an operations expert. Well, we can't argue with that.
He's got a walkie-talkie and a hard hat.
Play on the Xbox and wish we were someone important.
The scientist. This is where it all happens, back in the labs. Now, normally you need five cards to be able to cure the disease. The scientist allows
you...
In one person's hand. Mm-hmm. The scientist allows you to have four. Mm-hmm. So it's curing
so
for
much
cheap.
Easier with the scientist.
Good guy. So that's the thing. It's good to have someone like that around, you know? Yeah. So
The researcher, enables you to give players one of your or any card from no matter where you are. Normally, if you need to hand a card to another person, you both need to physically be in that city, and one player has to hold that card to be able to transfer it. The researcher allows you to hand over any card you like, as long as you are in the same city as another player.
I like that card. I like Very playing useful. That card even more. I can see how fun it would be to be the medic guy. But the researcher, I really like, you know, just being able to, like, you know, you're pulling cards together, you go around, you take, you give cards away, you get everyone on the front foot. And if you've got someone like the researcher and the scientist working together, you go grab the same color cards, give it to the scientist, and he goes and cures it for four.
And that's really good, because you all start off in Atlanta at the start of the game, and if researcher and scientist have a few cards of the same color, you can spend an early turn just cure a disease within couple of turns.
That's right,
if you're lucky enough to have that happen to you.
The fifth role in the base set is the dispatcher.
Yeah. I played with this one in the expansion, and it seemed quite complex, but it makes a lot of sense.
What does it do, Matt?
Well, it allows you to move... Oh. your fellows players around as if they were your own. So you're still having to expend your cards, mm-hmm. but you get to move your friends around all over the board.
You're
expending
or wherever your actions.
Your actions. Right? You're expending your action and your cards to move them around on the board.
Yeah.
For basically, it's a good way, and I found this quite useful, to get people to research stations very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And the other ability is to enable you to move any pawn, any other player, to another city that contains another player.
So pawn. It's a bit like the internet. It can shift pawn from one place to another.
Exactly,
lightning fast.
And it only costs you one action, so that must be NBN right there.
Right.
Oh.
So that's
dial-up dispatcher.
So those are five guys that are in the core set.
That's
right.
The five roles. Now, they expanded it with the 2013 version to include the contingency planner, who's very good at planning for outbreaks. And I don't actually know what that role is. It's one. It wasn't in the on the Brink expansion. So
listeners, at the moment we've got the original box open. So the latest version, which is the vamped up version.
But the one I like, the second one, is the Quarantine Specialist.
Yeah.
Very useful.
I've never played with that guy.
Well, the Quarantine Specialist has this great ability that whenever they walk into a city, that city is immune from any diseases being placed there. So you can't have any
Quarantine Specialist.
You can't have infection in that city. Now, not only that, it also prevents the cities connected directly to it by one transport route to be immune from that effect as well.
Oh, wow.
So yeah,
that's,
so you, if you
really good.
The way you use this one is if you're in a heavily just
connected
looking at
city.
Connected city, like Istanbul, not Constantinople, Istanbul.
Oh, I was about to yell that out. Oh.
Then you've immediately given Istanbul immunity from infection while you're there. But on top of that, Milan, Algiers, Cairo, Baghdad, and Moscow. And St. Petersburg.
Tune in next week, listeners, where Matt reads out South American countries.
They all...
Miami, Bogota.
They all receive that same immunity bonus, which
sounds
is
like a Billy
very
Joel song.
Useful.
He'd just do things like, lists.
Miami, Bogota, St. Petersburg, and me... Yeah, that would be horrible.
I like Bogota. When
Bogota.
On the side, when store manager, Good Games store manager Dave and I were in Sydney recently, we discovered the joy of hot girls that work at cafes who are from Colombia.
Oh,
I can't say it properly, but they can.
Colombia.
Do you just want to? It was almost like a dare. It's like, I want to buy a Coke. I'm going to go up to that girl there, try and make her say Colombia. So it'll be awesome.
Whereabouts are you from? Nicaragua.
Yeah.
No, you just say Colombia.
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 Yeah. And someone was saying one of them said something about something, and they went, Bogota. And then. Like a day or so later, they go, we're doing this in Bogota. And I will, so, fast forward a day or two, and I'm wanting to buy that Coke. And I go, how can I make her say Colombia? Dave says, why don't you go up there and, point over your shoulder at Sydney? And just go, God, this reminds me of Bogota. She goes, oh, you've been to Colombia?
No.
Never.
Bye.
Thanks for saying that. I got you on my phone. It's great. Fantastic.
Just so I can slide recording
her. So, listeners, if you're from Colombia, please
tell us.
Just tell us,
really anywhere from South America.
Yeah. Or if you can say Colombia properly.
Yeah.
Say hello to all our Colombian friends. We love you all.
All of them.
We have lots of them. As far as the base game goes, that's it. That's covered everything in the base game has to hold. The other expansions to come with this game.
Yeah. They've certainly got on with it, haven't they? So the next expansion was Pandemic on the Brink.
So we played 2013 edition Pandemic, which is the second edition, out of the box. Found it fiendishly difficult. Yeah. We had to choose our own roles. We had to fully... completely share open hands and everything, open information, just to even beat I think the base edition. We're like, I'm not sure how we could handle a fifth, sixth Pandemic in the thing. On the Brink, it adds three more challenges. It adds a virulent strain, which is an epidemic that creates an
ongoing effect.
Yeah. It does the three regular things that an epidemic does, which is increase, infect, and intensify. And then it has another thing. I'll read one out here. Slippery slope, each outbreak of the virulent strain moves the outbreak marker forward two spaces.
That's crazy. That means before you can only have three outbreaks in the entire game or you lose.
But before you get too excited about On the Brink, the only reason I bought On the Brink way back in the day, because I've got the hipster version, it was way before it became cool. Even the box was the different size. So it's just like, ah, whatever.
Oh, you know, whatever. Just change the size of the box.
Petri dishes.
Yeah, Petri dishes. Oh.
What you do is you buy On the Brink. You buy the original core set, you buy On the Brink,
the cubes, whatever.
Take the Petri dishes out, throw On the Brink on the shelf for another 4 or 5 years, get the Petri dishes out, write disease names on the front of them, put your cubes in there.
Funny disease names.
Oh, yeah. Now you're cool. Now you're cooking. Now it looks like pandemic, right? Then 4 or 5 years later,
you can play On the Brink. If you feel ready.
Do virulent strain. Yeah. Do mutagen.
$60 Petri dishes.
This is what pandemic, the original version sounds like.
Boring.
Yeah,
that's two cubes together. Yeah.
Is what Pandemic On the Brink sounds like.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's so good. Yeah.
That's gamer candy or gamer porn just right there.
Yeah.
The equivalent of phone sex.
But look at this, has got more roles in it, hasn't it?
It has seven new roles. The field operative, the generalist, who a very useful one because instead of four actions, you get five actions per turn.
And that just does quite a lot, really. Yeah.
Especially if you couple that with some of the special events that give you another couple of actions on top of that, suddenly you've got an eight-action hero. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Globe-trotting, curing
disease.
And I think
the generalist is one of the great reasons that they updated the artwork, because in the original On the Brink, it just looks like some with slight features. It's like a grey background, person with a grey complexion wearing a grey shirt. Yeah. It's like, have they got a nose or an eye?
She's a generalist. She's just grey, very general.
Yeah.
Everything about her is general.
It's like they painted some stuff with watercolours and it rained, and on the sheet that was underneath, some paint soaked through, and this went generalist.
Yeah.
We'll have that.
Actually, looking at the artwork of the old edition ones, the operations expert looks quite ill.
Yeah.
The medic doesn't look like he should be administering medicine to anyone.
Yeah.
He looks like he's too jaded.
Yeah, he looks PTSD-ish.
These are all people that have got a pandemic. They're sick themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not fun to make
jokes
about disease.
There's a pandemic hitting the globe. Who's the super team? Oh, it's this person that looks really, really depressed. This researcher whose eyes are like really far spaced apart.
Is their complexion the same color as their t-shirt? Yeah, check. Super team. Get them down.
Super team. they're our guy.
Well, they've also the other roles they've added. The troubleshooter is someone who's able to peek at the cards on top of the infection deck.
That's very useful.
Equal to the current infection rate. So it kind of gives you an ability to plan ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you need to know. It's not as good as a special event. You only know what's coming. You can't do anything about
it. Also, you have no idea when epidemics are coming up still. So if an epidemic comes up, that information is going to be useless because the cards you've already seen will be dumped back on top.
So the troubleshooter can also...
It's just that nosy bastard at work. Always wants to know everything about you. And you're just like, I don't want to
Gary
tell you.
From IT.
Hey, do you know where those diseases are coming up next?
What are you doing on the weekend?
Shut up.
He only needs to reveal a card to take a direct flight from city to city. Doesn't have to get rid of it.
That's actually really good.
So the downside, one thing we probably didn't mention was that the hand size of this game is 7.
Yeah.
So you can only hold 7 cards at any one time. If you go beyond that, you start discarding cards. Mm-hmm. Now, that becomes a real difficult choice sometimes, mm-hmm. especially if you're so close to curing one disease. You're thinking you might not want to get rid of those same color cards, yellow, for example. So you'll get rid of the blue ones. Then all of a sudden, the intensify hits. And then all of a sudden blue starts exploding all over the place. And those blue cards that you discarded because you didn't think, I can get rid of those, they suddenly become very important. And there's no way of getting them back again.
Blue explodes like Smurfs in a paintball fight where they're only using blue bullets. Something like that.
Blue yourself.
Yeah.
Unless...
Oh, Matt's got a plan.
You're the archivist who is able to... who has a larger hand size of 8 and is able to draw an action from the player, a card from the player discard
pile. There's a union rep that comes and talks at us for a while. He's got a large hand size. I was watching him do a speech the other day and he was trying to look cash by putting his hands in his pockets, but he could only get like his fingernails into his jean pockets. And I thought... Large hand
was
size.
Was he an archivist?
No, he's a fat bastard. But anyway, moving on. It's a massive head. You look at him side on, he's got a massive head.
He must know. He's got a big hand size.
Yeah, he knows some stuff. Or he's just very vacuous in there.
Giant cranium.
Love all the people that are in our union. Love our union friends. They all listen. Hello. Welcome aboard.
I was going to say, and if he's a listener.
Yeah, he's going to love that.
Yeah.
Two more roles. The containment specialist, whenever he just enters a city, as long as there's two or more cubes, you can remove one. Mm-hmm. That's very useful. That's kind of like Jesus walking around.
So it's like a free...
Yeah, removal without spending an action.
Because usually you have to spend an action to clean up even one cube from a city, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty handy.
Thin the disease out.
Like, all of these are really handy, and a lot of the replay value comes from the fact that you never play... Well, it's very rare you'll play the same role twice in a row. You'll play with a different team.
Combinations of different roles have a different impact.
Wow, the artwork on this one is... horrendous. This is the epidemiologist from On the Brink expansion. And it says once per turn, you can spend an action to take a non-matching city card. Because usually to swap cards with people, you have to be in the city that you want to swap.
That's right.
With another person who wants that card from you. And you can only give them the city that you're currently standing in. The epidemiologist, you can just trade cards.
Yeah, this is when I think of... I mean, this is we're all talking original artwork from the original box set. Yeah. This is not the stuff you buy off the shelf today.
It's much more flashy.
The epidemiologist is the one that I think of when I think of bad artwork. It's almost like once per turn you may melt your face and look like a petrol... Doesn't it look like she's going... Petrol? Would you want petrol or diesel? Do you want a full tank? It's like, what do they call it? It's not self-serve.
She's pointing to the side of a truck.
Yeah, she's pointing
to a
truck.
Where that map of the world is. She's not helping out with the disease at all.
Well, she's waving and she goes, come on, let's go to the Mediterranean. That's where I melted my
Colombia.
Face.
If she said Colombia to me, I would be out of there.
Yeah.
A funny thing, the dispatcher, probably one of our favourite roles, I have to say. Now, in the rule book, in the original rule book, it didn't come up with, it was fairly... nondescript. It was fairly standard. But if you in the rules of the 2013 version, it adds a little disclaimer to the role of the dispatcher.
It can't mulligan it. It's
just to remind you, its ability is to move your fellow player's pawns on your turn as if they were your own, or move any pawn to another city containing a pawn for one action. Now the disclaimer is that make sure you get permission from the other player to move their pawn.
Always ask for permission.
Always ask for permission.
Never do anything
you
with anybody unless they've given you permission.
So,
how
many complaints did they get to have to put that disclaimer in the rule book?
It's like it puts a red flag on it, doesn't it? It's like,
people were moving other people's pieces all over the place. And, hey, what the hell? I'm going to contact the publisher and add that so that you have to ask me for permission before you move my piece.
Who does that? It's like I've been playing this board game for a year and I'm always getting moved around and nobody asks me if I'd like that. I'm sick to death of it. I'm writing a letter. Z-Man Games, watch out. Here I come.
When I played D&D, I was always the cleric and that same thing. I got taken advantage of.
Now, I'm sure a while ago, we've got a little bit off track here. We were talking about house rules, weren't we? And we talked about role picking.
Yeah.
And we've got a few other house rules that we've used over time.
Yeah, when I started playing this game, it was, like I said, it was fiendishly difficult. So we just played with completely open hands and we were playing it more like a cooperative. Everyone's cards were in the pool and would try and use someone who was the dispatcher and everyone on their own turns rather than keep your hands hidden and keep that information.
And what do the rules say?
The rules say keep your hands hidden at all times so that someone doesn't just kind of puppet master you.
So Aaron's thumbing his nose at the rules again. That's not happened before. But okay.
it's all right to play with your hands open on the first few because everyone's in it together and you're all going to
And
die
I don't think
together.
That's such a bad
you're learning.
Thing, really.
It's not horrible.
It's never bad. If you're playing amongst mates and you're pretty easy going about letting everybody have their own go, you're fine. Yeah. It's just when you've got that rules Nazi guy who's going to dominate the game.
It's like, was that move that you made the most efficient? Yeah. Shut up.
I like how you went to Japan. That was good for you, but really, Osaka.
Did you not? Osaka? Did they really need to clean up the disease in Osaka?
Yeah,
really? Really? Really?
You should have so San Francisco then. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go there if you want to waste your move.
So if you've got
that
guy.
What? What are you saying there, bro?
So if you've got that guy in your gaming group, yeah, play a closed hand. You know, yeah, that's all right. But I think most of the time,
if you impose that rule on your group, you're playing with the wrong kind of people.
No, but the rules that's why it's in the rules, isn't it? Oh. It's sort of like don't show your hand.
It says in the rules
because we're anticipating you've probably got a cockhead and hanging out with you playing game. But if you haven't, you know, then you can probably all openly discuss the idea of like, we'll just play an open hand.
Yeah, you know, because you want to win. Mm.
Well, Matt and I had a game the other day. And I did find, because it was probably one of the first times I played with a closed hand,
yeah,
that the special events cards had a bit more of a different feel about playing it, because it wasn't like a bit more oomph, because you were sort of, you might say, I've got a special event card, but you might not necessarily read it all out when you've drawn it. But then something happens, and you go, hey, check this out.
It's your moment to shine. Yeah. Your moment to be that hero that everyone, you know, you can be. Yes.
Special event dream.
You can fly in and get that government grant, or you can
here's some money,
airlift somebody to somewhere important, or you can remote treat people.
There's a button on your remote.
Quite remote. I don't want to catch the disease that I'm
treating. Next to mute and channel change. Cure.
Disease.
That allows you to remove two cubes from the board from anywhere you like. Now, anywhere. There's another one which I really like, which is the
the infection deck. That one? Have we done that?
Not the peak the infection deck. It's the one where you get to
One Quiet Night.
One quiet night. Great.
Yes, yeah. It stops the infection from happening on that one person's turn,
which is pretty good. If the world is looking pretty infected, there's lots of cities with three cubes on them, and you're not so sure which ones are coming up. If you play One Quiet Night, you get to miss it. You lose that risk, and awesome. Maybe you can deal with it, or that next player can get to those cities and just mop up one or two cubes, and you sort of avoid getting an outbreak.
Yeah.
Resilient population was the one I was looking for. You get to take a card from the infection discard pile and remove it from the game completely. Say Osaka keeps getting infected, it keeps coming back. It's always Osaka.
Osaka's always misbehaving.
You can get rid of it permanently from the game. You can take
it. You found that one to be of use, didn't you?
I have. Yeah. You can take it aside, you can cut it up, burn it, bury it in the backyard, never to come into the game ever again. You want to play it again.
Until you reshuffle the deck.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't. Until you... on the next game. Yeah. You almost had it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the resilient population is a very useful card too. I think the great part about the special events is that is that little bit of hidden information, like you suggested. So you're able to pop it out at the right time. I know how that sounds.
I went there myself.
Yeah. Here we go. Aaron, I popped it out at the right time. And
she loved it.
Yeah, she did.
I had to give her
a Gold Forge Sentinel. But in joke there. Hello, Tim the Meat Axe. How are you?
I think we'd been way too highbrow for too long. But
jokes. Here we come.
Willie.
After this section, we'll have Aaron's top 10 and knob jokes.
Special event cards, very useful in bringing you back from the brink of catastrophe right at that important moment.
Or you're pushing you on to victory as well.
That's it.
Because certainly change the game. You're always pretty happy to have one. So, the final expansion we've got is in the lab. We've got Pandemic the Corset, Pandemic on the Brink, and then the most recent one is In the Lab, which I believe takes us into the lab. It's more about the research, isn't it? But it's still an expansion.
It is. It adds a whole new section to the board, which is the lab. Now, I've not played with the In the Lab expansion before.
Are you in or are you out of the lab?
Well,
you're in the lab.
Out of the lab, and then you're in the lab.
Yeah.
Depending
What's
on your
the lab
role.
Think of that?
The lab. The lab has had no complaints so far. So you get an extra few roles. The pilot is one, the virologist, the logistics expert, and
the feathers.
Something I can't remember what the last one is.
Yeah.
But there are extra event cards added. Now, what this adds is a new aspect of the game. So once per turn, you're able to store cubes from the board. So rather than putting them back in the petri dish, you can take it from the board and you're able to put it in the lab and you can start researching. It's actually a quicker way to research a cure.
This is similar to one of the roles in On the Brink, where when he cures a disease, you put the disease cube on him And when you have three disease cubes on him, you can use three disease cubes instead of discarding two cards. I think it's in the latest, in the 2013 edition.
The field operative.
Oh, the field operative, yeah. And it seems to be expanding on that. You can use the disease cubes and focus a little bit more than everyone always trying to get cards. You can, you know, focus on your research or whatever. I think it's an interesting aspect to it. Mm.
So does it have a card? Is it like Arkham Horror where there's a board within it, isn't it?
It's a separate board section. Yeah.
Oh, all right, that's cool.
Yeah. So basically, it's there to represent the CDC. So where you're sending all your disease samples back to, it enables you to get combinations to cure the disease. So it's an extra challenge. I think the cards you draw may require certain combinations of red and blue or black and yellow.
Yeah.
And so you're needing to get that complete combination of cubes to complete that challenge.
Cool, yeah.
But yeah, it's an unknown quantity to me because I haven't played this one, unfortunately.
Yeah. Also, something we haven't mentioned, original Pandemic is 2 to 4 players. You choose your roles from the 5, 6, 7, I think, that you get in there.
Two to four.
And then it adds a fifth player in On the Brink.
Yep.
That can just be a fifth player, and you just add slightly more pandemics to the deck, or one of them can be against you and is playing the role of the bioterrorist. And then in the lab, it gives you an option to play solo as well, and the opportunity to play with 6 players.
It also increases the age limit of people who can play. So it's gone from 8+
and swearing.
Yeah. 8+ to 13 PG-13.
PG-13 in the lab. Oh, look at that lady on the front. Yeah, she...
Yeah,
she's
sexy
in a
helmet.
She's looking at those diseases in a petri dish.
I've always wondered.
Look at this guy. He's very porny.
Yeah, man.
I've always wondered that those you know, you're wearing the containment suits and you're looking into the microscope. How the hell do you get your eyes close enough to the microscope to be able to look in there?
Tiny binoculars inside your suit to look into the microscope.
If anyone can answer that, yeah, that'd be helpful because I'm stumped.
So of the expansions that we have played, we played like On the Magic. Brink. And the other day we played Virulent Strain. Yeah. So there's just for an example of what the expansion's about, there's a slight difference in Virulent Strain as opposed to the regular game. Yep. What does that bring to us?
So this adds slightly worse epidemics into the deck, which do the regular things of increase, infect, and intensify. And then each of the Virulent Strains that you have in there... does an extra worse thing. Some of them are ongoing effects.
Yeah.
Some of them are one shot. One of the ongoing effects is if at least one infection card of the virulent strain is drawn, draw one extra card.
So the first time you draw an epidemic with a virulent strain, it identifies one of the colored cubes as the virulent strain. And then subsequent virulent strain cards have their ongoing effect in relation to those cube colors.
So
it draws your attention to, you know, like if it's black becomes a virulent strain, it's like, right, we need to deal with that.
Yeah.
And then we'd have to worry about any other cards that come up.
We have to worry about the other ones slightly less, but still worry about them. But this one is quite like... this one's going to stack up quite a bit because every time you say it's black, every time you reveal a black infection card, you have to draw an extra infection card, which could be another black one even.
So I played that the other day and it was good because it wasn't a huge leap to take, but it just added different flavors to the game, which was nice because some expansions, you feel like you've got to sit down and read the manual.
Yeah.
And there's a few other things.
On the Brink also adds the other challenge of there just being a fifth disease, which is notified by the purple cubes.
Yeah.
And that's a mutation. I think the mutation has a separate set of rules. The purple disease cards which come up do slightly different things to normal.
Yeah. The final part of On the Brink's bioterrorist one, which is...
I haven't played with that one, actually. It seems like it would be insane. Yeah.
It's much like, Scotland Yard, where you've got that hidden bit of information.
Yeah, they pop up all around the world, infecting people with their...
So if you manage to get where they are, then they're effectively, I don't know, I may be speculating, but I think that's... If you manage to capture them, then they're not effective or they're out of the game or it's another way for you to win the game. I'm not sure. Yeah. But
and it's got a tracking thing similar to that Aliens from Outer Space, which we covered in the space episode.
You hear a noise in Tehran.
It's a guy fondling his bacteria.
I think what really impresses me... that's not what impresses me. But what really impresses me about Pandemic is the fact that they've not... You know, while they've expanded the original game twice... they've really expanded it more times than that, because each of the expansions in the lab and on the brink all have three variations or three things that you can add to the game or not. It's up to you. So it allows it to be quite customizable between your in your gaming group. So you can even, there's a lot, well, you can play this solo quite comfortably on your own. You just pick multiple roles. There is actually the
playing solo.
There is the solo game very. I'm exceptionally good at playing solo. If I do say so myself. Yeah. The solo game is a little bit.
If someone else commented on how good you were at playing solo, you'd just be like, just join in, man.
I'd lose all my credibility. It introduces the team game aspect where you can actually play cooperative with a partner against rival teams.
That sounds fun.
Hidden goals.
Oh, that sounds cool.
So they've really, really, this game has been expanded so many different ways, so many levels, that it's got quite a lot of replayability, longevity, and it's we're probably going to get to the what do we think about it.
This is my what do we think about it.
Yeah. For me, this has definitely moved up to my top five games list.
Yeah,
quite easily. Only after the few times I've played it.
It's so engageable, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a game. I've forgotten how I got introduced to it, but you know, as soon as I was playing it, it was just easy to do. You know, and it's easy to get. You know, it's sort of that gateway gamey kind of vibe where it's not there's not too much of a leap to get people on board. You know, you can have your hardcore gamer friends play it, but then it's easy to drag someone else in, and they can be up to speed. It's collaborative, so it's friendly on that kind of front.
Yeah, it's good to play in a group as well. We've played a lot of cutthroaty games like Diplomacy, Game of Thrones, Citadel's Coup.
Well, you might not want to see each other for another month and a half.
And, you know, and you're like, oh, I've got to lie, I've got to cheat, and I've got to steal. Everyone is just kind of, I don't have a problem with it, but everyone's kind of banding together, and you've got this real sense of you're all achieving something. When you solve a disease, you're like, yes, cool, we don't have to worry about that one anymore.
I certainly remember going through a period of gameplay where I was just looking for collaborative games. Yeah. I was just like sick of like, you know, competitive, like full on gaming. Like, you know, like your tabletop gaming, you know, you do like 40K for a while, a Warhammer for a while, a War Machine for a while. Something it's like full on competitive strategy. I'm really trying to beat you. Yeah. And it's just like, all right, I want to do gaming, but I just want to chill out a little bit and just hang with my friends and do something fun.
Yeah.
Then that was when I was looking for collaborative stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the, well, it can be very harsh sometimes, the game, but it never feels like it's just punching you in the nads. It always feels like, oh, we didn't deal with that outbreak in time, and it kind of got a bit out of control. Like, you should go here and I should go here, and like I can dispatch you. Oh, wow, that sounds like I'm taking control of it. Like,
I certainly had games which are timed really well as well, so that that deck of player cards has been down to, you know, you've found them out and there's like three or four left. And it's like, right, we have to use the next three or four goes perfectly to win this game.
It's like a little timer ticking down.
Absolutely. There's a ticking clock in this game. It's good fun.
The player cards are like that clock you mentioned.
Yeah.
So running out of those is a very – it's a harsh but noble way to lose the game. Having all of one color's cubes out on the board again is a very harsh but – noble way to lose the game.
You saw it happening, and you were like, oh, we can't, just can't deal
with
it.
I think
he's warming up to something nasty here.
The outbreaks are what does it for me every single time.
Really?
When I lose via the outbreaks, get becoming becoming eight.
I've played four games of this five or six times. We've lost the outbreaks five times and
that is disheartening because that's.
Usually go around mopping everything up and then just go, we're out of time.
That was the feeling though, because we're like, oh cool, we're on top of everything. Oh shit, there's six cards left.
There's nothing we can do.
And that's a real like deflating, like, okay, we did all we could and everyone's still alive, but for too long.
Because there's that element of like, if you've cured disease and then you go around, there's a real temptation to just go, right, I'm going to eradicate, I want to pick everything up, and sometimes it's not necessary and you can just let it like populate a little bit,
flourish
as you go around trying to get a cure for something else. But like Matt said, you can lose the game that way as well by running out of counters, by letting something get out of hand. But it kind of feels good to get all of the counters off the table.
We've never done it.
You've never done it
in six games.
Oh, that's
six big games we played. We've never eradicated.
You do that and you go, that feels good. We don't worry about that ever again. But you've just lost the game because you spent too long doing it, you know?
All these other three diseases are running rampant.
Always seem to come close. I've come close a couple of times in eradicating one of the diseases. But then all of a sudden, I get a bad turn of the card and it's back on there and then... No. I lose or I win.
It makes me think what happens after you win the game, where you cure all four diseases and all these people around the world are still infected with it. You're like, yeah, yeah. We're done.
We're okay.
People are still dying.
Yeah, super team, retire.
Yeah.
It's Aaron's top 10.
Oh,
it's that.
Oh, I didn't bring my penny whistle today.
Oh, man.
Damn it.
Yeah, quality control. Slipping. Yeah. Slipping. So, Aaron, you've got a top 10 to treat us with this evening.
I do, yeah.
All disease related, I'd hope.
Yeah.
Infecting us with knowledge.
Yeah, on the pandemic theme.
Yeah, I'm going to infect you with knowledge.
That's enthusiasm.
Imagine that.
Oh.
You infected me with
your hilarious. No.
Yeah, so
it's not like we decided to each do that before we started and then laugh raucously. No.
I think we may have discussed already, literally our favorite bit of pandemic are the petri dishes in which you hold the cubes.
Yeah. Is that number 10? Disease.
No.
Oh, okay. So Aaron's top 10 petri dishes.
My favorite bit of the petri dishes that are included are the stickers.
Yeah.
My favorite bit of the stickers is that it gives you a place to write your own disease name on there.
Right. When does the top 10 start?
So here we go. Here we go. All right. Big build up to it.
Oh, I see. So top 10 things to write in the space on the petri dish sticker.
Yeah.
That's a big heading.
This is a big heading.
There eventually. By the time we get to number one, I might be able to say that again.
Okay. Right.
At number 10.
Number 10, bed sores.
Bed sores. That's funny because...
Oh, there's an outbreak of bed sores in Delhi, Kolkata and Karachi. We need to go and rub some ointment on some old people.
There's an outbreak of bed sores on the palm of my right hand.
Is there the cure for that, Caro?
Yeah,
There's no Perth Square on the Australia map on this MASH-looking board.
Oh, we'd never get disease.
Oh, we don't get disease. Just bed sores.
All right, top 10 things to write on the sticker of your petri dish.
This one can only go on the red one.
Yeah?
Hemorrhoids.
Yeah. Not a disease, but always funny.
Got to fly to Bangkok, Hong Kong. Shanghai, get the five cards together to get some ointment to rub on my butthole.
Funny enough, the red one is it's a circle.
It's a circle. Oh, I'm not going to be able to unsee
grapes of wrath. There we
disgusting.
I don't know why I'm craning my neck to try and say. No, number eight on Aaron's top 10 list of things to write. On your petri dish.
So just outside Atlanta, we've got a super team working on this. Atlanta, Georgia, World Health Organization. We need you to fly out to Mexico City, David.
Yeah. I'm up for it. I've got
cure all of the halitosis in Mexico City. The terrible, terrible breath of all of the inhabitants of
Jalapeno
Mexico.
Breath.
Jalapeno breath.
Oh, halitosis.
Halitosis.
That was number eight.
That's lovely.
That one went down, didn't it?
That went down,
That got no reaction in the pod whatsoever.
Yeah.
Even Matt just raised an eyebrow. And now he's covering his mouth. He's got his hand clapped over his mouth.
He's worried about it. Oh,
maybe inflicted.
There's many a dose, a small piece of truth in every bit of jokage. And I think Matt's worried that we're telling him
bad breath, Matt. Number seven is flying to Milan to cure all of the premature ejaculation.
You'd write that. That's not a disease either. But anyway. Yeah.
It was a funny thing to write in a petri dish, though.
Yeah, it is. It's very funny. Premature.
Shouldn't it be male erectile dysfunction?
That's the one. I wrote this quite hurriedly.
Never.
The petri dish is filled with premature ejaculation.
No, that'd be bad. Once you put the lid on that, just leave it closed.
Yeah, infectious substance. In case of damage or leakage, immediately notify nobody because you're disgusting.
Yeah, just throw it in the bin. Okay, number six.
Number six is...
What's right in your petri dish when you've got your...
Let's go cure all the cellulitis in Manila.
Cellulitis. Yeah. Manila.
Number five is traveling to the plane of Theros and curing all the desecration plague.
Desecration
That's
plague.
That's a magic related
desecration
joke.
Plague. Oh, you always have to sneak one in, don't you? Magic related top 10 themed thing. Desecration
Something
plague.
Very interesting in Pandemic on the Brink. They introduced the brown disease.
We'll be the judge of that, Aaron.
Which is a petri dish which is full of diarrhea.
Is that number four?
Diarrhea. I'm really scraping the bottom of the diarrhea for a petri dish.
Normally I always write these down as we go, but diarrhea is never a word that I can spell with any kind of confidence.
D-I-A-R-R-H-O-E-A.
H-O-A.
H-O-E-A.
E-A.
D-I-R-O-H-O-E-A.
They were fucking around when they did that, weren't they? Yeah. When they're trying to... It's like they invented like 20 words in a day and they're going, oh, we need one word for this shitty thing that happens to us.
Shit, that horrible thing.
And we're going, all our lactose intolerant friends. You know, what's going on with them?
Drink some milk and you... Oh, I don't know. Just mash the keyboard.
They looked around the table and they said, look, we've invented 20 words today. We've got some leftover letters. Just pile them in a heap and they can have that because, I mean, who gives a shit? And that was what they had, like,
diarrhea.
Yeah.
So like they dove into a Scrabble bucket and pulled out the letters and that was it.
Yeah, that's actually where it came from. You're just like, oh yeah, that's a word. D-I-A-R-R-H-O-E-A. Yeah, diarrhea. That's the, you know, sloppy
eat
shit.
Eat these Scrabble letters, then eat all these chilies and all of this, like, eight-week-old bacon and we'll come back in an hour and see what's spelt across the floor of your desk underneath your office chair.
I can see a D.
Yeah. What's next? An I? An A?
You got, like,
a couple of R's.
90 points, though. 90 points. Well done.
Can I go home now?
Number three on what to write in your Petri dish when you buy
I actually think
on the brink expansion. I haven't finished the title yet.
Sorry.
It's such a long title. All right, Petri dish titles.
Petri dish titles.
Number three.
I think this would be very interesting.
Yeah.
We mix pandemic with a bit of zombicide, bit of Z-pocalypse.
Yeah.
You have to go around the world curing of zombieism.
Yeah.
Walking Dead actually set in Atlanta, Georgia. They go visit the World Health Organization. They're like, hey, is there a cure to this disease? And they're like, no.
Definitely not. Would you like to join me in blowing ourselves up?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, what's the cure for this? That huge fucking pile of explosives over there.
That'll cure it for me, not for everyone else.
Yeah,
so, flying around the world's going to be pretty great after you do that.
Yeah.
You're probably going to be stuck there for a while.
Okay, number two. Second most important thing to write on a Petri dish.
Alzheimer's.
I've forgotten.
No, that's bad.
That's bad taste.
That's the worst one because the best one is going to Atlanta.
Number one.
that was really bad. I feel really bad now. All right,
But you know what?
We've got to be edgy.
We love all our friends with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, we do.
All of our listeners with Alzheimer's, we love them.
All of them. Every single one of them.
But at number one, write your Petri dish, and we love all of our listeners who have got the following, which is...
Discard 5 blue cards. Go to the World Health Organization Research Center to finally cure obesity.
Obesity. Oh, yeah.
That's an epidemic.
Right. That's an epidemic. The pandemic circling the globe. Topical number one. Let's cure obesity. Play pandemic a little bit.
Yeah, it's just circling the globe a lot slower than everything else because it just runs out of breath as soon as it gets out of town.
Do I have to fly to Milan?
I'm off to infect the world. Fucking knackered. Can we have a nap? Give me a burger.
Fly me out on the nearest.
Yeah. All right, well, that's another one of those excruciating top tens out of the way. Yeah. Thanks for that, Aaron.
Fantastic. No problem. Anytime.
Tweets and news.
Tweets
and news. Well, the Seven Land Hand Super Series continues on June the 15th. What format can we expect this month, Aaron?
The last one was limited because we were celebrating Journey into Next just coming out. So this one coming up is the first exploration of the standard format, except for Game Day, which we are
standard
just having on this weekend.
You. Right.
Includes all of you.
Yeah.
It'll be probably our last big standard tournament before the new M15 comes out in July. That's coming on really quickly, actually.
Oh,
early July.
Oh, my goodness. I love a corset.
Yeah, corset is fantastic. So before standard gets a bit of another injection with the corset, the few spoilers for that have come out already, actually.
For really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We got spoiled. Because the Xbox game got leaked, and there's some new cards in there,
Maybe talk about that in a fortnight's time.
Yeah, for sure.
On our extra episode,
So June 15th, we got standard format on the Sunday.
Yeah, that should be everyone living close to Good Game St. James. Get down there.
Yeah,
get enrolled. Get
and
involved.
Even if you don't live,
our overseas listeners, if you want to fly in, say hello. Come on down. Let us
win
know you're
qualification
coming.
Qualification for our grand final.
Let us know you're coming, and we'll show you a good time. Oh, Aaron will. Definitely Matt will. He's number one. He's our local tour guide. you can spend a few weeks at Matt's place. Just let us know you're coming. He'll roll out the duvet. Is that how you show people a good time at your place?
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Roll out the duvet and the sleeping bag.
Yeah, and the pillow that his dog's been sleeping on for the past 3 years. Give it a bit of a shake. Make sure there's not too much dog hair
on
there.
Crush at that.
Yeah.
Then we can cure obesity, and zombism, and Alzheimer's together.
Yeah. If you've got diarrhea, go stay at Matt's house. Yeah.
I'd like, there should really be whiteboard things on there, so you can every game you're playing slightly different things. So like obesity
on
the petri dishes. Yeah. So one time you're just curing really gross.
You can
stuff.
Write to Matt Lecoq.
I like that idea. Yeah.
Write to Matt Lecoq and
I will.
Say him and
I'll
tell
write to
and
him.
Say him. Tell him like, even.
Or if he's not listening, write to Tom Lehman.
Yeah, he got involved.
He
as well.
Only worked on the expansions.
Yeah,
right?
He did. Yeah, that's like, the two. Poor guy. Hey man, this is good. I'm getting on this pandemic ticket. No. Hey Matt.
Hey, do you know what he invented? He's literally just like, hey, do you know what would be great, Matt? Petri dishes. He's like, I'm going to put your name in the box. That's fantastic.
Well, he deserves it if that's what he contributed. So, speaking of Super Series, the second video is up online at sevenlandhand.com. Just follow the videos tab.
Oh, yeah.
You can see Aaron Graham playing in that very game.
Oh, lovely.
I won't say how it panned out. But,
I wasn't going to mention that.
I won't, don't give anything away about the result. But
oh, no.
You can see it. There's a bit of commentary on that. All of the thrills and spills of the round two.
That was a good video, actually.
Yeah, it was great. Thanks to Toby. Well,
lots of close-ups of my face playing Magic.
Yeah,
which
that was weird, wasn't it? It was like an old documentary of
sepia-toned, just like my face just looking really pensive.
Yeah,
and
telling a few gags. I thought you were
in slow motion.
Tweets, questions, Facebook comments. Have we seen anything come through?
No, nothing fresh.
I think we're intimidating people. They don't want to write in. They're wondering what we're going to say.
It's a diffusion of responsibility. We've got a lot of people that say they listen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
the
no one
downloads
is
going
it's
up.
Just posting
crazy.
It on the thing.
Do you think we need to target people in particular? Just like, go, like now, just say, right, bang, you need to write.
We need real incentives. Real incentives.
We do. Just
or maybe people are embarrassed. They think that any comment that they read out we'll make fun of. Like we make fun of every comment that we read out on here.
We don't do that though.
No,
we're
don't.
Very supportive.
Exactly, yeah.
We love nothing more than like when the Medax writes in.
I mean,
look, he got mentioned in the body of the podcast today. we love the Medax.
I love a good Medax.
Yeah. And Dorian, we haven't heard from him for a while, have we?
Oh, yeah. I think we've just got to pinpoint people and deliver some gold.
Dorian, we need to hear from you before the next fortnight is done.
Dorian, Medax.
Medax is always good for a few
comments.
Sven
Landhand, we haven't heard from him
in a while. Yeah, I don't want to hear from Sven. I think he's a fraud.
Bad blood between you guys.
Yeah. Anyway, keep them coming in. So write to us if you want us to if read out those comments or questions. You're going to get yourself a Hyper Magic Nerd badge.
Yeah, free things.
Free stuff.
Who was complaining about it?
I remember we've mentioned that. That's like Fight Club. You're one of a few then. And you wear that around town, giving knowing nods to other people when they see the Hyper Magic Nerd badge. You know, you might get a discount at the bakery.
Oh, yeah.
You might walk into...
like a literal bakery or the gig place, the bakery?
No, a bakery.
Oh, a bakery.
Yeah, you might get a few cents off a vanilla slice.
Definitely. Yeah, if I'm working there.
No. Any other person wearing a Hyper Magic Nerd badge.
Oh, wow.
So I'll go, yeah. Yeah, like you go down in takeaway, they'll go, tell you what, the naan bread's on the house. Yeah, you don't have to pay for that. And you'll just look at each other and go... Knowing
Fight
not.
Club. I mean, Seven Land.
Hyper Magic.
Yeah. Flash your badges. I think there's a box of them somewhere that sounds not unlike this.
Oh, that's good. That's so good.
Don't do that, Matt.
Yeah. It's like one of those, you know, silent clubs. What are like, you know, the...
Stonemasons,
for example.
We got secret handshakes.
Yeah, we do.
Our secret handshake looks like a normal handshake.
Yeah, we'll show it to you now. That's exactly how it looks.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
All right, so Hyper Magic.
Picture this.
Yeah, so any comment or anything like that, you'll get a Seven Land Hand Hyper Magic Nerd badge as pictured on the 65th story of the World Tower in Sydney. And nothing more should be said about that.
Mm-hmm.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Let us know your pandemic adventures, for example. You know, you've listened to the pandemic episode now. You might have had a game. You might have a few thoughts.
Tell us what you don't like about pandemic if you really want to do that.
Tell us anything about that, and we'll discuss it further. You might want to talk to us about your journey into Nyx, or a combination of your game of Pandemic and your journey into Nyx, where you had to attend the STD clinic because of something Nyx gave you after you journeyed into her, etc. Yeah, we've covered that.
We're talking about Stevie Nyx, of course.
Yeah,
Stevie Nyx disease.
So, next fortnight, we'll be back with Sevenland Hand Extra, which is our magic-focused podcast. Sounds like we've got a few spoilers to discuss.
Yeah,
and in a month's time, Matt, what are we going to be back to talk about?
Ankh-Morpork. We're going to take a journey to the Discworld.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. On the back of a giant turtle.
Oh, yeah, right. With elephants and...
and stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing can go wrong with that at all.
Nothing can go wrong with that. Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so all that's left for us to do is to say goodbye, Mr. Graham.
Cool. Thank you, as always, Matt McHale, our permanent Sevenland Hand expert now. It's been an honor and a pleasure having you here. Here's another Sevenland Hand badge.
I'm glad I can infect the airwaves.
He passed the eight-month interview process with
your enthusiasm, your generosity, and your knowledge today. Thank you to Dr. Dave for reducing the infection of... ignorance towards pandemic today. Also, thanks to me for infecting you with way too many references to
hilarity.
Infection.
Infecting us with hilarity.
I'm sorry for infecting you with my top 10 list. We'll be back to inject you with some magic knowledge.
He's going through his nightclub pickup lines. I'm here to inject you with some infection, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to inject you with the hot dose of obesity. Sorry, I've been playing Pandemic a lot this week.
I'm an epidemic. I'm larger than you'd expect.
That worked the other week. That went well for me.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, then
I'm
going to
smother your globes
you
and kill
it.
You without mercy. I mean, no.
Smother your globes. Oh, no. It's like a Carry On movie all of a sudden.
Oh, God. That's wrong.
Oh, this is the outro, isn't it? Okay, behave.
What does CDC stand for?
Disease Control? Center of Disease Control. I'll work that one out.
I didn't realise that was a question.
That was what the silence was. It was the pod asking our resident expert for information.
I wasn't looking, I'm afraid, but...
Okay.
Is that the outro?
Yeah, that was the end.
Oh,
that was supposed to be like, what does CDC stand for?
Oh.
That's great.
What does CDC stand for?
Oh.
That's
I wasn't prepared for that one.
Oh, you guys just riffed on it weirdly.
Oh.
Oh!
What does CDC stand for, Aaron? Complete Dysmorphic Control.
Wow, that's actually really good. How did you just come up with
Chemical that? Displacement characters.
Cock. Dick. Cock cunt.
You cock dick cock.
You cock dick cock. Hey, I work at the CDC. Oh, are you a cock dick cock?
Take that with your degrees and
take
your lab
coat. Take that, Matt Leacock. You're never going to make anything of yourself.
Stick that in your test tube, you cock dick cock.
WHO.
That's something to do with wrestling, isn't it?
Willy
whore orgasm.
No, I can do this all day.
Actually, horse spelled with a W.
Ho.
No. Willy Ho. Oh, that's that rap band we're going to start.
Oh, yeah.
The Willy Ho Orgasm. That's a good name for the band.
My rap name is soon going to be
Willy Ho.
Posterior Hysteria. Listeria.
Listeria. Glisteria.
Glistening Listeria.
Glistening Listeria. Hysteria. Glisteria.
On your posterior.
Whoa.
I'm glad we managed to work that one in. That's good.
Oh, right over your skank tattoo, your tramp stamp. Get some glisteria. Is that enough?
Yeah, I think
Have we got enough of that?
We can probably cut enough from
that. Yeah. We've got... This is going to get edited down about 15 minutes.
15 minute outro.
All right, enough. Stop. We're going to stop. We're still going.
We should definitely stop.
Stop. All right, stop. Enough.